This is the Free the Land show for June 4th, 2013. We're going to talk about government and military conspiracies. We have a special guest here, Tom. Tom the Anarchist.
Okay. Hi.
Well known among occupiers. So, Tom, you've been doing a lot of research recently on you have a name for it too, the main conspiracy we're going to explore here.
Yeah. The one that I'm particularly interested in right now is Gladio B. And that's actually, is it okay if I take these headphones off?
Sure.
It seems like it's okay. Yeah. The one that I'm mainly interested in is Gladio B, because I feel like that's the one with the most damaging implications for the executive branch of government, particularly. But there are a lot of other things that I've uncovered recently that are also pretty interesting.
The kind of threads that lead out from there to other places?
Yeah. Things that would be, that I think have some use in social protest movements. If people were to draw more attention to them, they're things that are so scandalous and so contrary to propaganda about the U.S. government that I think they could actually challenge a lot of the propaganda. And then not only that, you know, the morality of the people in government at the highest levels.
What morality? Okay, so Gladio B, what exactly is this now?
Okay, it's basically a CIA covert op, which an FBI translator named Sibel Edmonds stumbled on in the early 2000s.
How do you spell Sibel? Some people want to check this on the internet. Or how do you spell Gladio, too?
Okay. Gladio is G-L-A-D-I-O.
Okay.
It's the Italian word for sword, I believe.
Okay.
And the original Gladio is actually a four-decade operation, which was carried out through NATO. Which was formed after World War II as the world's largest military organization.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a four-decade operation that lasted through most of the Cold War.
So this is, like, all over the world, then?
Gladio B, it's international, certainly. I don't know about, you know, literally every country.
CIA can operate in every country except our own, but maybe.
Yeah, but it's definitely international, and it spans multiple continents. Gladio A was the 40-year operation. That's something that was focused mainly on Western Europe.
The B one is more recent?
Yeah, B started in 1996, and Gladio A was exposed in the early 90s by Giulio Andreotti, who is the, I believe, the prime minister of Italy. Either the president or the prime minister, but he was a high-ranking official, and his government was exposed, and then to sort of deflect some of the blame, he revealed that it was happening pretty much throughout the Western European governments.
Uh-huh. So I guess the P2 Lodge might be involved as well, if all these Italian connections on a CIA
P2
operation.
P2 Lodge was actually involved,
See, I don't even know anything about this, and I already know that. Just from... fucking Nazis is basically who's behind it. The Nazi mentality, the reactionary fascist mentality, they all get together because they're all rich, and there's few of them, so it's easy for them to get together in these little private meetings and whatnot. And the CIA, you know, which is supposed to be looking out for all America, ends up just looking out for a select few, and it's generally Europeans, more than just Americans, right?
I think it's... What was the last thing you said?
Well, the people that are actually benefiting from these operations are, like, you know, the Bilderberg Group, or all the rich Europeans, rich Americans. It isn't, you know, it's a worldwide. The CIA just doesn't defend our interests; they defend this class's interest against the rest of us.
Yeah, I agree about that. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So Gladio B started in 96. Why? Because there was too much exposure on the other one, so they had to start up a new one. And it's not through NATO?
It was a shift of tactics. The focus of Gladio A was basically, it was ostensibly so that there would be stay-behind armies in Western Europe in the event of a Soviet invasion during the Cold War.
Right.
And they were drawn from neo-Nazi elements, fascist sympathizers.
These would be like guerrilla forces that would hide out in the mountains and stuff.
Yeah, they're basically guerrilla forces. And they were originally constituted so that they'd counter a Soviet invasion. But in the absence of that, they're actually involved in numerous terrorist activities. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just terrorist activities. It was false flag terrorist activities mm-hmm. that have had a very, very significant historical role in world events mm-hmm. in so discrediting the European left.
By false flag, you mean they're doing it, the right is doing it, and then blaming it on the left.
The Red Brigades, the Red Army faction, the mm-hmm. Italian Communist Party, they were all victims of false flag attempts mm-hmm. To blame them for terrorist acts that were actually committed by the Gladio guerrillas.
Mm-hmm.
And they got gigantic weapons caches from the CIA, from NATO,
mm-hmm.
Funding, training, and Britain and France, as I understand it, were sort of like subsidiary managers of Gladio through the British mm-hmm. SAS and French Special Forces. Mm-hmm. And they basically had influence over different countries in Europe and were directed by American intelligence. But anyway, it was, incidentally, probably. Well, I mean, some of the biggest act. I think maybe some of the. I mean, discounting what happened in, in the Balkans in the 90s, which itself relates to Gladio B directly. Mm-hmm. So it's still part of Gladio. Discounting those wars, the Gladio guerrillas. They undeniably committed some of the highest casualty terrorist attacks in European history. At post-World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a really significant effect. There was the Bologna train station bombing, where I believe upwards of 80 people were killed. That was actually, mm-hmm. Government-approved, NATO-approved. There's
hardcore evidence for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is there lawsuits going against NATO for this?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, it doesn't seem to have really, impeded NATO's effectiveness. But, these are things that people could verify if they look up the Bologna train station bombing, the murder of Aldo Moro.
That's spelled with a G, right? I know that.
Yeah, that was another Gladio operation.
Uh-huh.
At least two right-wing military coups in Italy.
Now, these were coups for the right, and yet they blamed them on the left?
No. I mean,
this one wasn't false flag. Some are false flag and some are upright coups.
Yeah, I mean, Gladio was a wide range of activities.
Mix of tactics.
Military coups in Greece and Italy.
I mean, this is the same thing that the CIA was doing in South America with Allende. They had democratically elected governments. They'd go down and murder, assassinate the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
because he didn't agree with the oil companies or the mining companies or some other business interest we have in that area.
Definitely, yeah, it's consistent with what the CIA does all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
To my understanding, Gladio is mainly connected with Europe and countering the Soviet Union. Though, I mean, it's consistent with the
Cold War strategies. It's the same general, yeah.
And anyways, Sibel Edmonds was the FBI source I mentioned. She was the only Turkish language translator for the FBI. And so she got access to top secret documents, which is like the highest classification level. And her revelation is basically that in 1996, the Gladio strategy changed post Cold War. And it might mm-hmm. even have, there are arguments that it might even have changed in the early 90s or late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it, during the Soviet Afghanistan war. When the Mujahideen were being formed. That's arguably kind of the start of the general idea. And the strategy changed from funding fascist groups and guerrilla units in Europe and using false flags and military coups to creating sort of Wahhabist-influenced terrorism as a way of creating geopolitical upheaval and using false flags, including arguably, and this is something Sibel
Edmonds... Did you say jihadist?
Wahhabist.
What's a Wahhabist?
That's a type of Islam that is known for being among the most reactionary...
fascists, right? I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood was influenced, the founder of that was influenced by Hitler.
The Saudi government, for instance, is Wahhabist.
Okay. So they're like recognized states or whatever as a, like Democrats or Republicans. It's that kind of a thing? It's like a party.
In political Islam. Yeah, and in Saudi Arabia in particular. That's the most influential of the Wahhabist states, and it's also considered you know, one of the most oppressive, well, actually by far the most oppressive government
in the area.
In all the Middle East. So, you know, that's a sort of an example. And the Taliban, that was also Wahhabist influenced. So, basically, the idea was to use reactionary religious ideas to create geopolitical upheaval and the threat of terrorism as the new global menace. So there could be a global war on terror. And the whole idea is basically to manufacture enemies.
Their friends are now our enemies, and they're still the CIA friends, really.
Yeah, exactly. And the idea was basically to use Al-Qaeda as the central focus of that so that they'd get training, they'd get funding, they'd get weapons, but there'd be the plausible deniability, and the U.S. would get to use terrorist attacks carried out by Al-Qaeda, undoubtedly with U.S. knowledge, and this was actually part of the plan as a rationale for invading countries, and also, you know, in the case of 9/11, getting the American public to accept
war in the Middle East. So this is, you're asserting that the CIA is behind Al-Qaeda directly. They're not just a spin-off group that we accidentally trained when we needed them to fight Russia in Afghanistan, but there actually is actually a plot from the very beginning to use them against the American people to cause the American people to behave how we want, or how the CIA wants them to behave.
In terms of the bigger role that Al-Qaeda plays, I think undoubtedly, in terms of the answer to the question, does everybody that considers themselves to be part of Al-Qaeda consider themselves to be a CIA agent or asset? Undoubtedly not. Probably most people in Al-Qaeda are, you know, believing themselves to be fighting.
Exactly. You know, they're called useful idiots. You know, they're doing the CIA's work for them without realizing it. They're being manipulated through an ideological or religious kind of thing to do exactly what the CIA wants. And the American public is just so short-sighted. They don't see that. They just see the buildings going down. They didn't even pay any attention to Building 7 going down. I mean, that had to be done with an inside job. And this kind of stuff goes on and on and on for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And
in fact, it's happening right now. You said you were like looking at the recent bombings and possibly the shooting here in town could be related to false flag operations by these right wing groups.
Quite possibly. I hadn't even thought about the shooting in town, but that's an interesting thing. I mean, it certainly did bring a lot of
national attention.
Yeah.
And I look at it from a psych. These are psychops. Basically, they're to influence the public's psychological frame of mind. So here you had, you know, a sex pervert military guy shooting a sex pervert cop. You know, two of the people that are supposed to protect us are you know, raping our women. You know, it gets at your lizard brain. So that's how they work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of actually interested in looking into that more. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of an interesting possibility that it could have been a false flag, you know, given the sort of the panic about police.
And the gun control thing that we're passing.
It seems kind of be a theme every now and then.
Well, we're radical, so we like to put down the police. So when I see it happening, wait a minute, you know, and they're getting away with it. When we try and do it, we all get popped, you know.
Yeah. Well, I just remember thinking, you know, when I was seeing all these, you know, like black helicopters and stuff in the sky.
They were going door to door.
Happening, to the person killed in front of the Red Room. You imagine a police, you know, military presence like that, and Leon Panetta coming out to, speak. It's, you know, obviously, you know, the government.
It's staged or something. They're already ready with all their plans, you know, as soon as the event happens. That's what makes me suspicious about it. There was this bill ready to take our guns away right after a shooting.
But, yeah. But anyway, returning to that question about Al-Qaeda, the revelations Sibel Edmonds made are that Al-Qaeda was actually being flown around. Osama bin Laden
still flown around in like Air Force One or something.
Yeah, on NATO planes, actually. They're being flown around in NATO planes.
Were there stewardesses?
That'd be an interesting question.
Do they have to wear like that face thing? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So... part of the revelation was that from 1997 through 2001, and in the case of Ayman al-Zawahiri, who's the current head of al-Qaeda worldwide, for 3 months after September 11th, the U.S. government and NATO specifically were meeting regularly with Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri and al-Qaeda in general, and they were being flown around in NATO planes. And this new phase of Gladio was operated out of Turkey, which was also part of Gladio A, and it's considered sort of the pivot country to Gladio B, and the focus on Central Asia.
It is, yeah.
Especially.
It's the bridge between. It's throughout all history, you know, there's been more wars fought across the, you know, that strait there between the Black Sea. And
it's very convenient for drug trafficking to Europe also from Central Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's another important part of Gladio B. It's, you know, it's massive drug
Now we have unrest there even today, right now.
Mm-hmm. So, basically, the idea is train key people in al-Qaeda, like Ali Mohammed, the person who was the trainer for the people that carried out the World Trade Center bombings in 93.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually a CIA operative, and he was al-Qaeda's lead trainer, and including, like I just said, the trainer of the people that blew up World Trade Center in 93. So,
or tried to. I guess he wasn't a very good trainer.
Yeah. So just things like that, you know, train key people in al-Qaeda, finance it through Pakistan's ISI.
There you go.
Through Saudi intelligence.
Exactly,
so
Pakistan.
Plausible deniability and keep in constant contact, which is well documented.
Yeah, but that's why he was able to hide there for, what, a decade or something? Obviously he was in Pakistan.
Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
Arguably, he died in December 2001.
You think? Well, wait, that's now these conspiracies about that. I looked that up too when we were talking about this, and a lot of these are appearing on right wing websites because I think part of the motivation is they don't want to give Obama a black man credit for, you know, achieving what the Bush family couldn't.
Well, I mean, that doesn't discount the fact that he probably died in 2001.
You think? Why is that?
I mean, I don't deny that there are right-wing groups. And yeah, there are people like Alex Jones that used half-truths to spin a racist agenda. But I think that there's good evidence because it was reported by Fox News in 2001, I believe, 2001 or 2002, that he died in Pakistan. He'd been at an American military...
Wait a minute, you just said Fox News. Now,
yeah,
come on, that's the worst fucking news.
I mean, it's a mainstream media. Yeah,
No, it's a right-wing sort of fucking...
Yeah, but it's an interesting anomaly, you know.
But there, like I said, again, for some reason, the right wants to present this view. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know,
okay,
like I said...
Well, yeah, I was going to mention other sources.
Okay.
I mean, that's just one. Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing.
Well, to me, it's odd that, you know, they just you know, they got rid of his body so conveniently right away, you know.
I mean, it was Bush's presidency to say he just died. Or something.
Well, yeah, okay.
Stolen the glory from Bush.
Yeah, they still needed him around as this, you know, ghostly enemy.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I mean, he's the whole foundation of the war on terror.
Yeah.
And yeah, Fox News does publish. Yeah, I mean, they have some truthful elements, you know, that come on there every now and then. It's a spun, you know, very, very heavily.
Yeah.
But you know, it doesn't mean. Yeah, and there's just taking the news, you know, for what it is, and then analyzing, you know, what's the real meaning. Anyway, yeah. So I mean, he'd been treated at an American military hospital in Dubai. In the United Arab Emirates in July 2001, I believe. And then on September 10th, he was admitted to a military hospital guarded by Pakistan's armed services on September 10th, 2001. And he was deathly ill. The FBI's head of counterterrorism in 2002 said, I don't personally believe he's still alive.
Well, you mean he was dead before 9/11 even happened? You said September 10th.
He was admitted to a hospital for dialysis. He had kidney problems, and he was hooked up to a dialysis machine.
Working the whole attack from a hospital bed hooked into a dialysis machine.
Well, I mean, it's true, though.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's impossible.
You can look it up.
He could still be alive, too. I mean, from a military point of view, you'd want to keep him alive to get all the intel. Tell you could out of them, like the way they're keeping all those people in Guantanamo, even though they're innocent.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I'm not denying that it could be useful for him to still be alive. It could be useful for the right wing to claim that he was dead before Obama did it. You know, but I'm making claims based on facts. I've seen, you know, like based, you know, like reported in you know, different news sources, things like that. And I'd be willing to, you know. Question the accuracy of the facts if you wanted to draw up documents about, you know, his admission to the Rawalpindi hospital or something. But I mean, my understanding is that's a solid fact.
Well, I mean, I just look at, in conspiracies, you got to always be careful, like, who benefits from what. I always like to look and see who's benefiting from this conspiracy, and, you know, if, like, follow the money or things like that, but, or I mean, the power.
Obama, well, yeah, but, okay.
So it could be. I mean, like, it could be. He could be dead. Yeah, like I said, because that way they needed him to do the whole terror thing.
And yeah, well, I mean, there's a good article by David Ray Griffin. He wrote a whole book, actually, on whether or not Osama bin Laden was dead or alive. And I've read shorter articles by him that are very convincing to me, personally. And the CIA had, you know, had constant intercepts of his phone calls through December 2001, constantly, even during the 9/11 attacks. And then they stopped. There's the FBI's consensus on it, the chief terrorism expert. There's the president of Pakistan. Mm-hmm. There are people within Al-Qaeda who said he was deathly ill. So, I mean, that's just my
that's interesting,
based on multiple news sources and credible evidence, rather than, you know, and with the full awareness that this could be spun, but that, you know, that doesn't change its truth as just a fact. So, you know, I mean, that's my interpretation of, you know, I think that the raid was basically something that, you know, Obama used to gain political political advantage.
Was there anything happening at that time that he needed it for? I mean, like in Libya, I remember there was the nuclear power was in the news, like, and he gets all his money from, you know, Illinois nuclear power people, and all of a sudden we're invading Libya, and that knocked the reactors in Japan off the top of the news.
He funded Al-Qaeda in Libya. The Libyan Islamic Fighting Group merged with Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, which is, you know, the biggest Al-Qaeda group for the region. Mm-hmm. They actually fused with it.
Yeah, we have no problem using, you know, like, we trade with the communists in China, yet we complain about them elsewhere, you know. We have no problem of using these so-called villains if they're serving our needs at the time, and that's how we got involved with Al-Qaeda in the first place, to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's in kind of in my wacky view that from the Nostradamus to the Book 10, Quatrain 72, the king of terror is bin Laden, and then there's another king to come, and these are the two witnesses of the fifth age. So I think he's kind of the witness prophet, and therefore he's protected. And which is kind of funny is that the SEAL Team 6 helicopter, you know, a time, two times, and half a time almost in terms of a lunar 28-day cycle, they all died. You know, what, 38? I mean, we talked about that a little bit. I looked it up. It's not actually anybody that actually shot Obama or whatever is claimed to in that.
They were all interviewed for a book.
Yeah,
that's my understanding. But they weren't personally involved in the supposed raid. They're, as far as the raid itself is concerned, what the next door neighbor of the house in Abbottabad, Pakistan, actually said that there had been three helicopters, that one of them had
crashed.
Had, yeah, gone to the ground. Uh-huh. People had gotten out of it with a bunch of weapons, gone into the house. Then they'd come out a little bit later, the helicopter had lifted off, and then it had exploded, sending body parts flying everywhere.
So after they took off? Because the official story is when they first came in, it crashed or something, and then that's the official story on it.
Well, that's what I'd heard from the next door neighbor. On the next door neighbor's account. I guess that's not, you know, that's just a statement of, you know, it's not necessarily something that's, you know, verifiable the best way, but I think it's interesting given that, you know, there's so many anomalies around it, and it seems to me like Osama bin Laden was dead in December 2001, and
you never really saw any good video of him.
That's
for
true
years
also.
And years and years, and you think that you would, you know?
Yeah, the video that was, I mean, he's not actually listed on the FBI's 10 most wanted criminals list when he was alive for the September 11th attacks. Ooh. And he actually denied four times in verifiable videos that he was involved, and he made some statements which are pretty strong, you know, based on his religious faith, saying that he wouldn't attack civilians like that.
Oh, really? He completely denied it. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he completely denied it four times on video that's been verified. And then the tape where he was supposedly him being recorded talking about the attacks and boasting and stuff, there are several anomalies, like his nose is clearly just not the same person's, which in itself would pretty much discredit it. It's never been authenticated, and it's been widely assumed that the reason he's not accused of September 11th is because that's the biggest piece of evidence, and it's never been authenticated, and the FBI can't actually say.
There's not probable cause.
There's no probable cause that would hold up.
That's hilarious.
And basically, after that, there really is no evidence.
Well, speaking of the FBI, they've been one of them died investigating this bombing in Boston and stuff, and they shot somebody else. What the hell's going on there?
Two people from the hostage rescue team that killed, quote unquote, hostage rescue team that killed Tamerlan Tsarnaev were in a training exercise involving a helicopter, and they mysteriously fell out of the helicopter and died. And there have only been four FBI agents that have died in training in all FBI history, so they doubled the number in one moment.
Where did this happen? I gotta look this one up.
It was a couple weeks ago or something, and I think the very
where
day
are they
after,
like in what state or
I don't even know that.
So FBI helicopter.
Probably Massachusetts, but
yeah, that's true. Probably. But,
Anyways,
and then they shot one of the guys.
The very day after that, I think, or just a couple days, within a few days at the very most of this incident, the FBI showed up at the house of Ibrahim Todashev, and he was living with a roommate, and they interviewed him for, I believe, 8 hours. I don't think there's been any video produced of it. It wasn't at an FBI facility. It was just at his house, and it was in the middle of the night, all of which are completely against
very odd
standard practices. And for some background, in 2011, Tamerlan Tsarnaev was investigated by the FBI on the urging of Russian intelligence, which suspected he was involved in a Chechenian terrorist network. That was the same year, in September, that his best friend at the time, I believe, somebody he was definitely connected with and who he'd been, good friends with, was killed in an unsolved triple murder. And this is the same year that he was investigated by the FBI, and they closed the case on him saying they couldn't find anything suspicious.
It's COINTELPRO all over again.
Yeah, so, anyways, Ibrahim Todashev was somebody who'd also apparently known one of the people involved in the murders and knew Tamerlan Tsarnaev. He was questioned for 8 hours, and his roommate was saying they were asking questions about how much he knew about Tamerlan, just asking a lot of questions, trying to figure out how much, to assess the level of knowledge.
Yeah.
And apparently then they asked to question him alone, and suppose the official FBI story was that after hours of interrogation, in his home in the middle of the night, he'd agreed that he'd been the person to commit the triple murder. And then all the FBI agents but one of them left the room. And then it was the very moment that he was about to sign the confession, he allegedly pulled out a knife and lunged at the FBI agent, thereby forcing the FBI agent to shoot him 5 times, once in the top of the head, which is a kill shot, basically.
Oh, man.
It was revealed that there was no knife. And the kill shot at the top of the head. And the fact that he was shot 5 times.
He was just trying to pass her a joint. Come on. It's like that, and conspiracies is like follow the money. The other thing is, where's the body? As soon as you start seeing bodies, then you're onto a real conspiracy, because people are serious. On the right, they're generally serious about their politics, and they fucking kill people left and right.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a very significant murder. I think that probably the likeliest explanation.
And it's so ridiculous, like you said, that there no way is that police policy.
Oh yeah, yeah. And
it's just a made up. If a 3-year-old had told you that story, you wouldn't believe it. Come on, it's like, the kind of thing they'd come up with. Yeah, mommy, all the other agents left, and I had to shoot them.
Exactly, I know. All the agents walked out of the room just at the moment he was about to sign the confession.
Because we didn't want any witnesses to his confession other than just me that's going to shoot him.
Yeah, and I believe there are two FBI agents on the record saying that he produced a knife, and then it was confirmed that that was just a lie, basically.
Well, if they all left the room, then how could they confirm it?
Yeah.
Remember, if you're in the FBI, don't forget to bring your knife to place on the assailant and shoot him.
Yeah, definitely. He was assassinated by the FBI. And I think it's significant because it has to do with Gladio B, and it has to do with...
How is he connected to Gladio B? Where's the connection there?
Okay. Well, Tamerlan Tsarnaev in, I believe it was 2011 or 2012, went to a training camp at this school called, it was called the Institute of Caucasus Studies or something like that. I'm not sure the exact word.
That sounds fucking Nazi already.
Yeah, but it was basically related to the Chechen separatist movement. It was funded by the Jamestown Foundation, which is a CIA front group.
Okay.
And there were a bunch of people like Zbigniew Brzezinski and, you know, just Trilateral Commission Council on Foreign Relations.
We're run by secret societies.
People, that are... you know, that are sort of connected with the influence of the, you know, these groups. And it's alleged to have been sort of a terrorist training group. And that's consistent with the U.S. strategy of funding Al-Qaeda in Chechnya, or, you know, Al-Qaeda-affiliated people, having people who train Al-Qaeda members, you know, go there and train.
Yeah, and they've been doing it all over the world for years, and now 9/11, it comes home to roost. Same thing happens, and they're doing it to the American people. What it is treason.
Yeah, and it seems to me like a plausible explanation of what happened in Boston is that it is a fault, I mean, not a false flag necessarily, but a case of blowback, and maybe there was an FBI sting going on, and they were going to try to take credit for preventing a terrorist attack or something like that, or maybe even they were, you know, they just had a feeling that there could be something bad happening, and they decided to show up with their WMD team or the, you know, the people from Kraft.
Well, like I said, like I think this is related to the shooting down south, the shooting in town, the bombing there, and the bombing at Waco. You know, all those were coming right up to the 20th anniversary of Waco. You know, and we haven't even talked about the Waco bombing. And so I was expecting that there to be right wing elements involved in Boston, because it's also April 19th is when the first shot was fired at Lexington. So it's a big important date for the people, right-wing groups in the United States, paramilitary types. So it could be that, you know, but then Alex Jones was showing all these photographs of all these, like, military types with the black backpacks, too, and it kind of, I think it kind of blew their op for them, so they had to fall back to their second plan, is blame it on the Chechnyans, just like with the, you know, Oswald and the Kennedy assassin. There's always some patsies nearby that they can blame. Same thing with 9/11, blame it on, you know, Osama. There's always a patsy.
Yeah. I mean, it really is an interesting thing. You know, that could be a possibility. Blame it on Chechenian people, and then you know, just count on the public not knowing that the U.S. actively finances terrorism.
The
in Chechnyans
Chechnya. As well. I figured there was
Mali,
some kind of connection.
Syria.
Because I think the right wing groups were behind this, and I think it was local, but they were still getting paid by the CIA or whoever, you know, to do these things, and then they got cover. You know, you're not hearing about them getting, you know, we're not saying that it's right wing groups that did these things. Yeah. They're unrelated events by lone nuts.
Yeah, and it's consistent with Gladio B, whether it was just blowback and it was actually actively committed by Tamerlan Tsarnaev. And I mean, apparently, Zhohar Tsarnaev talked to his mom and said he wasn't involved very recently. And the mom seemed convinced that they wouldn't have done it, for what that's worth. Maybe it was done by them and it was blowback, but it still relates to what the U.S. does in Chechnya, which is part of Gladio. Or maybe it was a domestic false flag incident where the U.S. Media the government assumed the media would never point out well enough, you know, that the financing for what happens in Chechnya is American. You know,
it's like, yeah, who are these guys connected to? I mean, it's like they went somewhere and got training and all this shit, right?
The older brother.
Yeah, and so who trained them? I mean, where's that?
Yeah, probably the CIA or...
Yeah, eventually it's the CIA.
Or, you know, within a degree of a degree of money laundering separation from the CIA or something like that. So either way, whether it was a false flag or whether it was blowback, it still connects to the Gladio operation and financing religious extremism and terrorist actions, you know, as a way of creating geopolitical destabilization in Libya,
and sell
in
weapons.
Syria,
and you make a lot of money selling weapons.
Yeah, in Macedonia in 2000, Bosnia in the early 90s, in Kosovo Liberation Army, worked heavily with Al-Qaeda. and NATO and the U.S. and CIA. So it's a very consistent pattern. And it didn't end, you know, with training Soviet Mujahideen.
Yeah, and it's you know, this all well known in conspiracy circles. American public all poo poos it and shit. But now, I mean, what's I guess coming a little different now is these things are being turned against domestic, protest and dissent groups.
Yeah, exactly. And my one of the ideas I've had lately that kind of makes me passionate is, just the way government secrecy is spun, and a lot of the news that's covered in alternative media, it deals with things that are very well known, but that don't touch at the very foundations of government legitimacy, or that for a lot of people, don't directly implicate people in government. There's a lot of knowledge about bankers and banker criminality.
Without naming a specific name and then doing something and putting that person in jail or whatever.
Yeah.
Or deporting them.
Yeah. And I guess arguably there's a lot of the truth is revealing conspiracies isn't, the fact that there's a conspiracy going on, what people already can pick up about the Iraq War, just knowing that more than a million people died, and that was based on a lie itself, just the fact that more than a million people died, that's way more evil than just the evidence of a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. I think that the way that a lot of American people think, evidence that they've actually been lied to, and finding words they can attach to that, basically you're the subject of these terror attacks, and we're trying to terrorize you by funding the terror. I think that's a powerful idea, and
people can't believe that. It seems too
knowing the facts that are out in the open. Might not strike because of nationalism.
Well, it's like, and we don't give a fuck, really. I mean, I'm talking about the American people in general. On average, don't give a fuck about people dying in other countries. There's nobody they know, but when it's like the CIA is killing American citizens, under a false flag, what the fuck? Why are we giving them money to kill American citizens?
Exactly. Yeah, I think that would be I think that could potentially be an explosive revelation. Mm-hmm. And the people responsible for this stuff are still alive. Mm-hmm. They're still out there, and they're still in positions of power mostly. So. Mm-hmm.
It's just like during the Nazis, the German public didn't care about foreigners being killed or whatever, but like some of the mentally retarded but they were Germans, right? That was kept quiet, that those people were being, cleansed out of the race and everything, because the public would get upset. I mean, as activists, that's where we have to reach. We have to reach towards the majority of the people with our points of, with the truth, really. I mean, because the other side's lying like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think that, the ramifications for the military could be very interesting if they were to, within the ranks of the military, associations with fighting Al-Qaeda, that's probably the number one, propagandistic role of the military.
Yeah, they don't have what the Cold War. There's no justification.
People for any reason other than economic, would list as their main reason. It's fight Al-Qaeda and the global war on terrorism. So I think that the revelation that the U.S. government actually and the intelligence agencies actually stage false flags and finance Al-Qaeda, especially through Pakistani ISI intelligence services and Saudi Arabia's intelligence services, I think that would be explosive for the military, and that could actually be the beginning of, revolutionary discontent, in a way that's significant, mm-hmm. or at least loss of control of the military by the people who've used their lives as expendable to carry out these covert ops.
Now, we're talking about the CIA here, though, and that's different than the military. My impression that the CIA are much fucking more corrupt and dirty than military intelligence, from what I've how I've dealt with them. There's plenty of bad people in the military, but it's not quite. I mean, the CIA is just riddled because Operation Paperclip and all.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the CIA and Joint Special Ops Command. I mean, Joint Special Ops Command is used pretty heavily, and that's military. Mm-hmm. They no doubt, at some
the higher up you get, the more political and the more treacherous it all gets. Whereas your standard private, has no idea any of this is going on. Yeah. He's just out there defending America. America.
Exactly, and I think several, you know, government agencies related to the military-industrial complex must be in on this
at the
top levels. But it's the pyramid effect. You know, if the most people at the bottom actually have an explosive revelation like that,
that's right.
You know that could.
That's
actually...
why you don't look at the pictures. Only look at the ones the FBI shows you. Don't look at the ones elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if people realize the FBI are basically just a bunch of murdering scum.
It's admitted that they murdered during COINTELPRO, but where are the convictions?
I know. Fred Hampton, yeah. Several other people, no doubt, probably Martin.
Where's the convictions? You know, why aren't our local whatever out there fucking trying to arrest those? Because there's no statute of limitations for murder. We could still arrest those FBI agents if they're still alive.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of my my hope, is that if this stuff gains military consciousness, you know, because that, you know, that's the biggest sector of, you know, armed people, you know, people, you know, that have the weaponry and things like that.
We're going to need half of them.
Yeah. And
those Oath Keepers or whatever.
Yeah. I think that could actually be a way of dismantling, you know, the military industrial complex. It's people at the very bottom of the pyramid realizing that they're actually expendable for completely bullshit ends, you know, just the fabricated war on terror that, you know, is profitable to continue. You know, I think that could really change things. And I think it's interesting. I'm not really, you know, like when Occupy happened, people didn't, they didn't, you know, focus that heavily on stuff like September 11th, in my experience. You know, I mean, you know, it was different everywhere, I guess, but, you know, I think
they're probably all similar.
I think focusing on covert ops and secrecy and things that are classified, and especially finding, you know, those one or two words like Able Danger or Gladio B
that you can search on.
Main Core. Yeah. All of these.
What's that main core? Why don't you spell those out so people?
Okay. Well, main core is it's a list of, it's estimated to be about 8 million people currently. It's basically like a data compilation program, you know, a database that pulls all the information on you from different government agencies.
How's it spelled?
Companies and stuff.
Like it sounds?
MAINCORE.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something that's been around since the 80s. I believe Oliver North might have been part of its formulation. He's at least used it when he was in the intelligence industry.
So this is what, it tracks a lot of people?
Tracks a lot of people.
It's but like InSlaw, that one.
One of the softwares compatible with it, Promise, was made by InSlaw.
Okay.
But, yeah, it basically tracks people, but it lists national security threats. So in the event something like Rex 84 were to take place, it's people that, in the event of a national emergency, people that the federal government can detain, abduct, under Obama's laws, kill.
Oh, yeah.
People
really?
Who are considered national security threats.
Does that include the Free Radio Collective?
Probably. I mean, 8 million people. You know, I mean, there's Tide, Terrorist Identities Data Mart Environment. That's got something like close to 1 million people on it. But, yeah, this is even bigger. And it's basically people who are professors, people who are journalists, people who are, you know, in the political...
And these are liberals, too. I mean, reactionaries... They talk about communists, but when they're really referring to liberals, you know, people almost mainstream. Those people are going to get rounded, not just the fucking freaky radicals like us.
8 million people. There are probably a few liberals on there. I'd say
this is just the U.S.
Yeah, just within the U.S. 8 million
so that's,
people are
what, 2%?
On the list, and it's top secret.
It's 2% of the population,
And it's not something that's well known. You know, it's an NSA program, I believe, but it's not that well known, and it's something that I think, you know, I think the words are powerful. Main core, you know, putting them out there on protest signs and in public, you know, in the age of a smartphone, somebody can just look it up in a moment, you know, and you know, have their worldview, you know, substantially altered. There's Able Danger. This is Defense
Intelligence
Agency.
ABLE Danger?
Yeah, Able Danger.
Okay.
That was a Defense Intelligence Agency project that collected 1.5 terabytes on Al-Qaeda, which is about a quarter of the information in the Library of Congress, in the late 90s through, 2000. And they basically knew, you know, all operatives in the U.S. They were able to track Mohammed Atta and three of the other alleged 9/11 hijackers, and they had evidence that there was going to be an airline hijacking, but Pentagon lawyers restrained them from sharing the data with the FBI. And that's just one agency in particular, but it's got a name, Able Danger. Recently there is a book about this published by Anthony Schaefer, who is part of Able Danger, and the Pentagon bought all 9,500 copies of the first print and destroyed them. So how much more fascist can you get? And
well, wait a minute. Let's,
they want to cover something up. So
let's come out with their own book. I mean, there's a lot of people that need jobs. Let's all come out with books of conspiracies that they're going to buy up all the copies.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I mean, that's the idea. Bring it out in public where people aren't supposed to find out about it, see how the security state reacts.
Usually they offer you money, like in this case, and then they kill you if that doesn't work.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. You know, how much longer can they go on killing people and maintain their legitimacy?
That's the other one for the UFO research. Is like, that's how I used to do UFO research. Is I just look and see if somebody died. Okay, that's real science. And they had to stop doing that because it made my job really easy.
Yeah, there are some stories where people look into them and they die.
Now it's the only people that get killed. There's people that have actual evidence in their hands that can be handed over to a court and bust the whole thing. Like 9/11, there was actual evidence of $2 trillion in cost overruns at the Pentagon, and there was a whole bunch of SEC insider training in building number 7. Both those two vanished on 9/11. Mm-hmm. That's who profited from 9/11.
Yeah, I mean,
not Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, it's so disturbing to me, you know, that there's still an official story on 9/11 that it was Al-Qaeda and there was no involvement by the highest levels of the U.S. government. people are war criminals and they're out there and they're still walking
around. They're running our country. Yeah.
And my feeling is, just focus
treason.
On the powerful words.
Treason.
Able Danger, Maine Corps, Rex 84.
Rex 84, what's that one?
It's a plan Ronald Reagan set up in the 80s to detain people in like concentration camps in the event of a national security disaster. There's National Security Presidential Directive.
Does this use FEMA? I remember hearing about FEMA being going to be used to we are going to get round up here. And the other thing, what you were saying about the majority at the bottom of the military, guess what? We don't really need them anymore with drones. Pretty soon, it'll all be robotized like Star Wars. Then what the fuck? We're going to hack our way.
Well, it's kind of a race against time, I think. You know, I mean, people can't put off, you know, like a revolution for another decade, or at least just, you know, getting serious about starting one. You know,
I get to the revolution after my vacation.
Yeah, and I think that one of the most powerful ways is to just peacefully expose these covert ops that are just evil, pure evil in public. You know, especially now that the media is pissed off. If these stories haven't, for instance, Gladio B is going to be covered by the London Sunday Times in 2008. There's going to be a four-part series. Mm-hmm. This involves allegations of nuclear espionage within the U.S. government, FBI blackmailing federal, collecting dirt on federal judges to blackmail them with.
That's what.
In addition to just the Gladio B allegations.
So that's what the Hoover did for decades. That's why he never went after the mafia. They got power because they had pictures of him in a dress, blowing some guy. Mm-hmm. And so they had dirt on him and he had dirt on everyone else. But as soon as he was gone, all of a sudden the mafia get busted left and right. Mm-hmm. So that's the trouble with secret organizations, secret meetings, these kind of things. There's no way of controlling them or keeping them in check.
Mm-hmm. But now that the media is allegedly pissed off, and it seems to me like the whole basis for the AP spying scandal and the new New York Times and the Fox News stuff, could be to discourage journalists from actually breaking what really is the biggest story I can think of politically, which is that the U.S. supports Al-Qaeda.
We're a terrorist nation.
Push for war in Syria, and what happened in Libya.
State-sponsored terrorism.
Yeah.
We are the sponsor.
Yeah, and it just hasn't broken into the mainstream media. You know, people have little bits
in this
pieces.
Country.
And I don't know too much about the media in Turkey or the level of public awareness of these things. But
Europe's generally a little more savvy.
Out of Turkey, the Ray Hanley bombing that just happened could very well have been either a false flag by Erdogan's government, or it could, or what's probably likeliest is that it was done by Jabhat al-Nusra, which is funded by Turkey's government, that's all Gladio type stuff. Jabhat al-Nusra gets U.S. and CIA financing. you know, whoever did it, you know, is probably affiliated with, you know, and then that's, you know, and that's something that can really be said about any sophisticated terror, or, you know, I mean, or, you know, as far as I can tell, you know, I'm just looking at more and more sophisticated terrorist attacks, and it's like, whoa.
That's how I can tell. Yeah, because they're sophisticated.
Yeah. How do people get away with this? You know, when
and how do they? And they're getting away with it, right? Like we never get away with. Fuck, we can't even sleep. You know, at Occupy, we're busted left and right.
Yeah, yeah.
These people are out there murdering and getting away with it.
Yeah, the CIA, they're not.
They're stooges. These right wing groups.
They're not the Keystone Cops. They know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, they know where the money goes. You know, they know who's involved.
Sponsoring groups in this country. Right wing extremist groups in this country get CIA money to. And I think all these actions, the bombings in Boston and Waco, are also kind of experiments to see how, a little test market to see how the public reacts to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I think Ray Hanley could have been the final straw, you know. Maybe people, you know, maybe the Gladio elements and the false flag thing, you know, is at least, you know, I bet it probably is at least an element, you know, if not something that's that wide. I don't know how widely known these, you know,
well,
these
they
interpretations
also,
are, but.
With the internet, I mean, you're just overloaded with information. I also get the impression from these recent activities that they want a bunch of conspiracy theories to be spun off of them, because that's another way of burying the truth. If there's a huge number of conspiracy theories, then nobody knows which one's the real one and which one's just bullshit.
Well, I mean, I think they're I mean, you know, Gladio B, you know.
No, that's a real one, I'm saying, but there's a lot of other ones.
Well,
you got to be careful.
I think the 9/11 movement, you know, I mean, I think there's good evidence that that's been infiltrated by people who, you know, have ridiculous conspiracy theories about hologram.
Exactly, same thing with the UFO stuff.
The sky and stuff.
There'll be
like
some real facts in these disinformation programs, too, so later on, if you come across real facts, you'll think it's part of the disinformation.
Yeah, and there are people like Alex Jones who are just, you know, out and out racists. And,
well,
you know,
he's like on the right wing side. I don't know if he's. I don't think he's working with the government or the CIA or anything. But he's got his own agenda. He's got the right wing point of view.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, I think.
I think he's a problem for these people because he is exposing it.
Yeah.
You know. So and they don't like that.
Yeah.
So
it's
either way.
I mean, I think as an ideology, you know, it, probably following. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know who contributes to the Cato Institute and stuff like that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
We got to form a Scipio Institute.
You know, but yeah, I mean, I think there are good ways of, you know, I mean, you know, conspiracies are out there. You know, like I said, it doesn't change the reality of
the reality they exist.
Somebody, you know, dies in a bombing. It's horrible any which way. You know,
and they're not always. They're not this one big thing in charge of all of them. They're a bunch of little groups all trying to move themselves up, and because they're secret societies and are loosely affiliated, they keep quiet about the other ones.
Yeah, it's very
misdeeds, so they'll keep quiet about theirs. It's a, you know, quid pro quo between the secret societies as they battle. To my view, 9/11 was the Bavarian German, you know, the Bush family has close ties to the Nazi, trying to take over the U.S., which I think is run by the Anglo Freemason groups more so than the German ones. But I think the Nazis are taking over. I mean, they're getting stronger and stronger.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but yeah, it's just interesting to see. You know, is the government going to just keep killing people? You know, and you know, with
it's going to get worse.
Already happened. You know, with the Boston investigation. You know,
there were plans to shoot people at Occupy.
Definitely. Operation Tripwire. You know, I mean, that's another thing.
Which makes me wonder, who are they going to shoot at our local one? You know, we never did crap. The only person that's actually still doing is like Gene. You know, they should. If that was the one, they should have targeted Gene to get the cook. You know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's interesting. You know, what exactly was the federal involvement in our local Occupy?
Yeah.
That would be interesting to know, you know. And
who did they target?
Yeah. And my feeling is, you know, I mean, there are just so many damaging things that have happened in this last decade alone. So many war crimes, so many conspiracies, you know, so many, you know, top secret things, mm-hmm.
Well, they got Posse Comitatus removed. When was that? I forget. But not because now they can act here. Before it was illegal for any of this shit to go on. They did it anyways, but they had to be
National
more.
National Security Presidential Directive 51. Yeah.
When did that pass again? That wasn't
that
too
was
long ago.
2007. That was even the Senate wasn't allowed to see it. There's like a senator who tried.
What? You can't even. They passed some secret thing?
Yeah, the Senate can't even look at it. It's restricted to Congress can't see it.
It's restricted to the executive branch. Yeah. And yet they got to sign. They had to pass it without looking at it, the whole thing redacted?
Well, it's a presidential directive. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, well, that's not binding then. Where did, I'm going to have to look into that, because posse comitatus should be a law by the legislator, and fuck the president, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that recently, just a few weeks ago, presidential authorization, it was ruled, wasn't necessary for the military to declare martial law.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's setting up all these things. I mean, that was the thing. Rome could never cross the Rubicon, you know. Once Caesar did, then it just takes over. Military will take over this country. I guarantee you it's coming. Absolutely. It's in the astrology. Mm-hmm. And it's also in the economics. I mean, the rich people got all the fucking money. Now even the well-educated Republicans are tired of the Republican Party. They see them all as racist, dismissive. You know, they're not so against bigger government. They, you know, they're upset about the economic policies of the Republicans. They don't see answers from lowering taxes because the young people in out of college, they're the ones facing no jobs right now. They spent all that money for education. There's no job, so there's no support in the future Republican base. This is going to go on for years and years. They're losing their support in their own base. So what is left? Only a military takeover to protect their money. Because otherwise, with the ballot, we can take away all the 1%'s wealth. We could do a flat tax on wealth instead of income and gradually get all that fucking shit back that they've stolen from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if the military can take over, you know, all places simultaneously at once, you know, I think that, you know, just spreading consciousness about, you know, the crimes and,
you know,
the
they're using
evil,
police,
you know,
too, yeah.
That the military's, and yeah, and also, you know, they're interesting questions, like, you know, like I was alluding to earlier, this idea that I've just been floating about, you know, combining basically public space demonstrations, you know, mm-hmm. and some of the ideas behind Occupy with classified information that deserves to be revealed because mm-hmm. it shows what the government's really up to, sponsoring terrorism, you know, government knowledge mm-hmm. of it,
yeah,
you know, things like that. And finding good phrases, you know, that you know, like,
that's propaganda.
The actual
yep.
literal, you know, that aren't you know, giving you, you know, the story or anything. You just search for it and you look into
yeah,
it yourself.
Yeah,
you
search. Yeah, exactly.
I like that idea a lot, you know, because these are things that the government wants to keep top secret.
Absolutely.
If police are called in to crack down on a public demonstration,
that
like
gives
that,
it more publicity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, you know, most police probably haven't even heard of these things, you know, unless they have some intelligence interest or something like that. Mm-hmm. They probably haven't heard of it. So, you know.
There's two of them in this town that were victims of it.
Yeah, yeah. And they'd be, yeah, quite possibly. And they'd be getting called in and, you know, looking at, you know, words like Able Danger or, you know, or Gladio B, you know, and, you know, whether or not they do it while they're on the job, you know, at some point they're going to look into it and they're going to realize, you know, who they work for and who they're, you know, who they're choosing to repress if they continue to do so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what interests are they really serving, you know? How are they facilitating the free flow of information? The answer is they're not, and they're pigs. But you know, I mean, I think the ramifications of a situation like that could be pretty interesting as they wake up to, you know, what they're really covering.
Yeah, well, that's our, it is going to be
and,
civil
and
war because not
in terms of breaking it into the media,
yeah,
know,
not everybody's going to go over to the right wing side. It is going to be civil war, and it is going to be, you know, split down the military. And there are, you know, I've already heard things about they're trying to Christianize the military and use things like that to control, you know, propaganda or whatnot.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
see. And this is coming very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, I mean, I feel like especially after the Boston bombing with the, and especially with the assassination of a witness, you know,
mm-hmm. Come on!
Yeah, and then the death of the two FBI agents. I mean, the evidence is all that. I mean,
it's
and
so
it
obvious.
Really has been there with 9/11 also, yeah. and that's the thing. So maybe
well,
it's not.
And the Waco bombing,
itself,
you know, 20-year anniversary of the government going into Waco, the thing that the right-wing groups get all upset about, you know, the same kind of explosion that Timothy McVeigh used in his protest against Waco, a fertilizer explosion, you know, within a few days of the 20th anniversary. And now I read that one of the first responders, you know, had, like, explosive devices in his possession. They're investigating him now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, to me, it was fucking obvious as hell. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one I don't actually know that much about. But I mean, was that the Branch Davidian complex?
Yeah, that was
okay,
the
one. Yeah, and David Koresh. I mean, I've read about it at some point, but I don't remember too much about it. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised
then,
if that's,
yeah.
that, you know, if there's good evidence, that, you know, or facts, that, you know,
because the far right doesn't like the government either. You know, the
false flag or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the far right doesn't like the government either. They're just like the anarchists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's kind of why I wonder, you know, these institutes like the Cato Institute and stuff like that, you know, like, where do they, you know.
Oh, they're far right. They're, absolutely.
I mean, they're not poor people, but they, you know, they do have a significant influence on a lot of people who are dispossessed and, you know, mm-hmm. particular people who are white and dispossessed, you know.
But also, I'd like to mention that the Rome did not follow the Cato policy. They went the Scipio policy and prospered. Never, but that's just an irrelevant point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting with government credibility, you know, just it seems like it's just getting worse and worse every day. And also, you know, with the situation in Syria, I think that's another thing. You know, if the story were to finally come out, you know, that the government doesn't care about, you know, preventing terrorism, it actually is in the business of creating terrorism, so it mm-hmm. has enemies, you know, and so it can keep the drones going and the mm-hmm. assassinations mm-hmm. and funding joint special ops and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You know, I think if the story finally comes out, you know, that will be a real moment of truth. How does, you know, how do people in power who are war criminals and directly complicit maintain their power? You know, because, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not like a vague thing like the government. You know, it's not all the government.
It's a small, tiny fraction. Yeah, exactly. But using certain techniques.
Yeah. Or, mm-hmm. you know, it's especially, I mean, just low level, you know, on the ground military operatives, you know, occupying countries and stuff are still complicit. But, you know, if you can point out the highest levels of complicity.
But like, they don't know. They're just following orders at that level. They have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. And I just feel like that's so necessary for people to realize this government is completely criminal. You know, it's completely, it has like no moral standards. It just kills people around the world. The war mm-hmm. on terror is made up. Mm-hmm. You know, it knows what Al-Qaeda is up to because it gets billions of dollars.
Because it told them what to do.
Way more than, you know, it just knows. You know, I mean, it's in contact with the intelligence services of most, you know, countries on the planet, you know, or mm-hmm. you know, and the ones it's not, it's probably spying on, you know, those countries intensively.
Well, those countries are also working with and against us at the same time. And we are getting weaker and weaker. They're, you know, they're going to, at some point, like, that's what you see in this. They turn on their friends. Al-Qaeda was their friend, and they threw them under the bus as soon as it was convenient for them. The same thing will happen with all their friends. Now, and that's one way to defeat them, is to peel away their friends. That's mm-hmm. partly how a small minority holds power, is because they have, you know, these obligation friends down the hierarchy and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And also, you know, like with 9/11, have you heard that the head of the Inter Services Intelligence in Pakistan, you know, it was just like the Pakistan leading intel agency, was meeting with George Tenet on the morning of September 11th. He was in town from like the 4th through the 13th, I think, of September. And in August, George Tenet and some people from the Senate Intelligence Committee, you know, people from different congressional intel committees, had been in Pakistan meeting with him. And it turned out he was the person that wired $100,000, or ordered to have wired $100,000 to Mohammed Atta, who's considered, you know, who's in the mainstream account depicted as the lead hijacker of, I believe it was Flight 11, the first flight to hit the mm-hmm. World Trade Center, and the mastermind, or, you know, the sort of the operational commander of, you know, the hijacking. He was wired $100,000 at the request of ISI's head, who was meeting with George Tenet, head of the CIA, I believe it was in Washington on the day of 9/11. And who CIA and House and Senate intelligence figures like Bob Graham and John Kyle had been meeting with in late August. Yeah, and actually, Joe Biden was in this meeting with with Mahmoud Ahmed also.
And then the pilots got all their training is like a CIA airport with all kinds of weird.
It was a CIA airbase in Florida, at least one of them. And I think they got some training in New York also. But yeah, it was a CIA. It was one of the main CIA bases in the U.S. Where he got his training. and then there are inconsistencies, like Hani Hanjour was supposed to be the lead hijacker of Flight 77, which hit the Pentagon, and the plane executed a maneuver that's considered so complex that even, you know, aviationists who've done years of training said they couldn't have pulled it off.
Well, I heard that one's a missile because it had to penetrate that hardened Pentagon, and an airplane wouldn't do that, is what I heard. Is there witnesses to actual plane hitting it? I got to think, how could
you... My understanding was that most of the witnesses thought a plane hit it. I think that's one of the areas where there's some controversy, and I'm still sort of learning about 9/11. That's something I don't know.
Because I don't know about the Pentagon engineering on those big buildings. But building number 7, that doesn't take an engineering degree to see that something that didn't get hit by any planes completely collapses into its footprint, which is very difficult. You have to spend a lot of money to demolition teams to do that appropriately. So that is obvious that this whole if that's set up, then the rest of them set up, the whole fucking thing set up.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a smoking gun.
That's why you didn't see building number 7 on the news all that much, because even an idiot like me can figure that out, you know?
Well, also, you know, there were two different news sources that reported, one of them reported like a minute or a few seconds or something before it collapsed, that it was already collapsed.
It
just collapsed. And another for BBC, like 20 minutes before it collapsed.
It's just like the elections.
In the background, was announcing that it had collapsed.
While it's going down?
No, while it was still standing. Like 20 minutes before. And another person, like a minute or a few seconds or something before, I think on Fox News, announced that it had collapsed.
So they paid a little extra to get some, you know, the scoop.
Yeah.
And the scoop makes the whole thing look like a fucking setup.
But the undeniable thing is, that's never even happened in the history of, like, a steel structure that it's just collapsed because of a fire. You know, that's where the building that wasn't hit by any planes.
It wasn't hit by anything, It's fucking nonsense. And that's where all the SEC investigation paperwork, those are all gone after that. And CIA headquarters are in the building.
Exactly. And also, the day before 9/11, on 9/10, Donald Rumsfeld held a press conference where he said that there were $2.3 trillion unaccounted for in the Pentagon budget. And whatever hit the Pentagon...
Destroyed that!
It hit the least populous area of the Pentagon. If it hit the other side, it would have killed all the top chiefs of staff and stuff.
At least in their treason, they spared a few of their fellow friends.
Yeah, and it wiped out the budget office the day after this somewhat notable press conference.
Treason. This is treason.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not just they're assholes. They're committing treason. They should be taken out and shot for that. I mean, that is a crime against this country. That is the appropriate punishment for treason. It's a capital crime. It's the high crime. Yeah. It is the highest crime you can commit. Really? Yeah. Treason against your own country.
Yeah, I mean, I'm against nationalism and the whole construct.
But again, I'm reaching to the middle, not to the anarchists, because the anarchists are all busy in their secret meetings and trying to make a decision.
But yeah, some governments are definitely more criminal than others, and the U.S. is like the most criminal government on the planet.
Well, but we're the most powerful too. It's attractive.
It's the most powerful,
It's the most wealth, whatever. It always happens that way. Governments get corrupt. Our local Occupy was corrupted in the first day. You know, it's the no government, no matter what its process or form, is immune to it. It's a lot to do with the people that are involved and how sincere they are.
I'd agree with how people get involved.
And why they're involved. Because if you're involved for power, power will corrupt you. Even phony pretend power like Occupy, I saw it happen. I felt it. I mean, that was the one thing I knew consensus would be a problem for ever getting things up, but I realized, as soon as I blocked a couple of things, it's this feeling of power. That's why people are attracted to government, too.
Money and power. I feel like Occupy had a lot of good things. We were in a society.
It was for a good purpose, and people were occupying, too. I mean, we were freeing the land. This is the name of the show. People were able to sleep on the public commons without paying fucking any money to the meter.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes or landlords. To me, that's the victory of Occupy. You know, the protest part of it, I didn't think was very effective, at least locally.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's how protests can be more effective. Use like the code name of a top secret project, and if more people just look into it, and the press is actually pissed off enough, and they're not just actually spinning the story of the AP spying scandal so that the bigger revelations don't come out, if they're actually genuinely pissed off enough that they break the big story, which is that the Boston bombing and September 11 and a number of other incidents like the USS Cole incident are all part of false flag attacks.
You know, maybe
terrorist financing.
A way to do this would be like a people's court. I mean, the Occupy had a people's legislature, and the working groups were kind of like the executive branch. Well, there was no court. There was no real. Who are we doing the right thing or not? There was no fucking. Are we following our rule? I mean, the rules were forgotten as soon as they were there. Passed. It took forever to pass, and then they were quickly forgotten. You know, and violated later by other autonomous subgroups. So some kind of a court that could say that the CIA is guilty, you know, outside, because we know it's not going to happen in our court system. It's mm-hmm. going to get corrupted. And that would get, you know, get publicity and whatnot and just create the idea that, that there is no real justice in this system and we need to provide a justice ourselves.
I like that a lot, the idea of holding a public trial, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, that's another great idea. If you look at Bradley Manning's trial, that trial is, you know, it's at least partly shrouded in secrecy, you know, and you know, it goes back to the whole idea of, you know, manipulating the idea of classified stuff. You know, if there's a public trial or something, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, police start cracking down or something, you know, that's not going to look very good. You know, cracking down on a
justice.
Public trial, you know,
exactly.
On justice,
exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, those are unstoppable ideas.
Exactly, it gets publicity, and that's the other thing is the photographs too. If you ever have any trouble with spooks, I mean, like John Lennon when he was going to do a free concert at the Republican Convention, he said like people in black cars started showing up, scared him off. I mean. Those people are scared to fucking death of photographs, just like the cops downtown are scared of Cop Watch with Brent's video. You know, you catch them doing that shit on film, that's what causes revolutions. That what caused the Egyptian revolution. There was some video, and that's what moved Occupy from being a local New York thing to being national, because people saw the cops fucking oppressing peaceful protesters that hadn't been in the media for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's such a powerful thing. I mean, people mm-hmm. already know it's a police state, I guess.
Yeah, we know it.
Yeah.
That's why whenever I buy something and they, do you want your receipt? I go, yeah, because we live in a police state. And we saw some guy got 18 days because he couldn't produce a receipt for some roses that they claimed he stole from a police memorial. And he had the receipt in his pocket. It got into police evidence. 18 days in jail for fucking that. And meanwhile, people are getting shot in the back of the head in Santa Cruz and there's all this crime. It's because the police are wasted on nonsense like that by Take Back Santa Cruz and other local reactionary fascist groups. Mm-hmm. Always get a receipt.
Yeah.
For the police state.
And it's interesting. You know, I mean, it's just the whole idea of journalism has become something I'm really, you know, interested in. You know,
well, that's good because they're dying out because of Craigslist. Killed the want ads for all the local papers, and that's where news stories start at a local level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just, there are so many, you know, war crimes and cover-ups out there, you know, and financial mm-hmm. crimes and stuff like that. Only just the tip of the iceberg is being covered, and probably not even the most damaging revelations, you know. If more people got interested in, you know, seeking out, you know, leaked information, you know, if more people got interested in investigating, you know, and they used the resources they have, the positions within government they have, mm-hmm. you know, the jobs they have, the access, you know, there could
like
be
Bradley
a much,
Manning.
Much fuller picture put together, mm-hmm. and it would just absolutely destroy, you know, the influence of, you know, all the visible elites, you know, in public opinion, at least.
That's the public opinion. And then the next step is to take away their money. That's the most important step, is to take away the money of the wealth. Because that's how they're funding all this corruption, mm-hmm. is with the money they've stolen from honest, hardworking people around the world, by underpaying them.
Yeah.
Everyone has been paid way less for all these years. I mean, you're owed by the rich people. Everybody listening to this broadcast and everybody they know is owed money by the rich people because they've used the system to redistribute the wealth into their own pockets.
Mm-hmm.
That we earned, and our natural resources that belong to everybody, they take it all. That's fucking 1% because they got weapons and they use these power tricks and propaganda and, you know, these false flag maneuvers to keep everyone else confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's just interesting, you know, this how quickly can a whole ideology fall apart? You know, in terms of like the ideology of the war on terror, mm-hmm. and just the whole justification for America's military and stuff like that, and the national security state, you know, mm-hmm. spying on Americans and, you know, everybody else around the world, and you know, just
like, remember, we don't care about everybody else, but when it happens to Americans, all of a sudden we care.
That's one of the really depressing things, mm-hmm. in terms of.
People are self-interested, yeah. So you have to pitch it from their own self-interest. Yeah. Like what I just did is that you'd have thousands and thousands and thousands of more dollars in your pocket, but for the rich stealing from you for years. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the truth.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, with the Boston bombing, it's not even comparable in, you know, the tiniest bit in scale to the Iraq War, you know, the genocide that took place there that killed more than a million people.
Yeah, because you don't know their names, whereas the Boston bomber, you get all these interviews with, you know, the kids and what.
But just undoing the media on its mm-hmm. own ground, that's
yeah,
what gets
exactly
coverage,
right.
And that's what has a key role in the ideology that kills people around the rest of the world. So if you can expose, you know, something that just you know, irrevocably destroys
exactly
that ideology.
Right.
You know, just pulls the foundations right out from under it, and you know, shows the people that be perpetrating it are directly involved in it, criminal activities. You know, like that's. You know, that's just so powerful, you know, and it, you know, even if people are acting in their own interest in the U.S., which is unfortunately kind of my...
But they're screwing us here, too. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's your own interest to do something about this.
Yeah.
You're not just saving people that you never met in far-off lands. You're saving yourself, your children, your family, your friends. I mean...
Yeah, even if only, you know, it's like the, you know, the... 1%, you know, a fraction of 1%, you know, the people of, you know, that have been killed, you know, in violent acts, you know, that people in the U.S. are interested in, like the London bombings, you know, 9/11, Boston.
Well, 9/11 was like 5,000. So somebody, a lot of people know somebody that knows one of those people that died there.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that
yeah.
gets to us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I
mean, but we think it's Al Qaeda. We don't realize it's CIA.
Even if it's just out of, you know, nationalist interest, you know, at first, you know, I think it can still have huge ramifications in the process of people waking up and
seeing what they have in common
with the rest of the world.
You're in advertising, you're in PR now. I mean, it's like you can't have your own anarchistic ideals. You have to go to where the public's ideals are and pitch your message to something in the terms that they understand in their own lives.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
they understand that people feel nationalism.
Boston and the 7/7 bombings in London. That stuff that, yeah, I mean, it appeals to, you know, the reality right now, which is that people just care about their own.
Well, the right appeals to, you know, nationalism all the time.
People.
So that's a way to divide them. And I also divide them on the Christian thing because, you know, the CIA thing, they're not helping the poor like the Bible says the Christians are supposed to do. All those Christian groups that support the Republicans are basically damned. I try and divide them on that issue, too. They're not, you know, use what they're holding their coalition together with and try and tear it apart. Divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
So, eventually maybe we can get away from nations, but we're stuck with them for right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, who knows how long? You know, I mean, it's a new era.
It's going to go smaller.
Borders are dissolving in a lot of parts of the
It'll
world.
It'll go back to city states.
You know, they're not really that relevant, and a lot of it's because of CIA activity.
Merchants don't like tariffs. They don't like taxes. They want to be able to go and sell in any market they want, take all the money back, and put it all in their own pocket. They don't like. They hate tariffs, and that's one of the ways to fight them is, you know, charging for globalization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, turn the Middle East into a giant free trade zone by destroying, you know, selected nations and, you know, having...
Well, the Europe with the euro and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I don't know, nations are headed in an interesting direction, you know, I don't know. It seems like there's a big reconfiguration going on, and...
World War II kind of solidified the borders more. I mean, borders used to change a lot more during wars and stuff before World War II.
Okay.
And at first, I mean, nations were basically a city in the beginning. Like, Rome even had a law that no other city could be as big as Rome because they didn't want to have to fight them later.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so I guess that's something that I've been thinking a lot about. And, you know, how to organize, you know, things like this with groups like the NLG or the ACLU. You know, because a lot of left wing discourse doesn't even talk about
it. This is the fringe. This is not stuff, because it doesn't serve their own purposes. The ACLU is just a middle class group that likes to feel they're doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when they're not.
Maybe the next phase could be, you know, not the ACLU, the NLG, get them involved. You know, they've shown some willingness to get involved with, you know, Occupy stuff and, you know, just taking Occupy, the idea at least, to the next level, you know, combine it with the other, you know, or one of the other major offensives, you know, against, you know, that one major offensive is against protest, the other is against classified information and leaks and the news, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you combine those two things?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, so, yeah.
Well, that's what I do on this show, too. Especially since they started killing people in my town. Five doors down. Like, I live 5 doors down from where I live for most of the time I spent in Santa Cruz.
Really?
Yeah. So
Have you read anything about the, you know, the police shooting?
The local one here?
The
LA one?
Journalism. Not like the mainstream story.
Oh, just whatever I can find on the internet. It isn't much, you know. I can get better from gossip from Becky, you know, because she knows inside stuff. Just like I said, mainly the psychological part of it made me think professionals more than just some lone nut guy. Because I bitched about Butchie Baker on the show all the time because it's salacious. You know, he's out there molesting women, uh-huh. You know, and he's supposed to be protecting our community. You know, and yet he's supported. You know, he gets a bonus that year when he's investigated by the Citizens Review. You know, so of course it's radical. You know, and it's got the sex in there, so it's more interesting than the guy that just got his head bashed into the concrete. You know, that's just gross or whatever.
Well, that's kind of an interesting theory. Yeah, actually, if he was sort of a prominent cop and he could have been a liability and get him killed by somebody who else is who's a sex offender and then do the story on that.
Well, yeah, the story hasn't happened yet. It's the problem is, the speculation doesn't work. But from a psychological point of view, it's like these people are supposed to be protecting us and yet they're raping our women. I mean, that's kind of the thing that leads to war. They're out there raping our women. Take up arms. You know, it gets at your psychological deep in your brain.
Yeah, and it sounds like he definitely in life could have been a pretty big liability to the department.
I think they moved him. But look
that's
at
the new idea. For,
look at, I mean, one guy.
Your local police department and find their secret stuff.
But also, being anti-police is like one of the pillars of modern day anarchism. But I remember telling Wes once, from a military point of view, the cops are kind of like nothing. They're easily swept aside by military forces. And we saw it with this guy that had military training. He taught the drop on two of, Santa Cruz's finest.
You know, that's right also. Yeah, he did have military training, huh?
Yeah, well, he used to drive a helicopter. He's like...
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought there was
something about the military, whatever happened,
He got busted for rape in the military, too. That's why the Leo Panetta stuff came out, twice.
Yeah.
Because it's up to your immediate commander whether you get prosecuted or not.
Yeah. I was remarking to somebody the other day, with regard to the sex scandals in the military, just looking at the Iraq War in the context of consent culture or, anything the U.S. does around the rest of the world, it seems kind of like, evident that would be reproduced, within the military itself. There's
Apple Graves.
Nothing consensual about killing people and invading their nations and occupying and manipulating their political processes.
I can just see a consensus circle. Okay, who's going to die? Who's willing to die?
Yeah. It's
another thing on the SEAL Team 6 I was reading is the fact that Obama let people know that that was the team that killed Osama. That's not supposed to be done because then there's going to be retribution or so the families are complaining that he never should have done that. But I think that's up to the unit because I think if I belong to that unit, I'd want the fucking credit and whatever, bring it, and if it's going to put more life in my day, then you're just an elite military guy. It's just so whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's another right wing thing now I'm seeing on Fox News and stuff. The families are claiming it's all Obama's fault that helicopter went down.
He's pretty select. I mean, his administration does actually purposefully leak, they've leaked top secret documents, actually.
Yeah.
They just do it very selectively.
Yeah.
It's basically for propaganda purposes.
Yeah. That was kind of propaganda. But once again, I said, if I belonged to that unit, it wouldn't bother me that, it'd be something to be proud of. Whatever. It's like a medal. You were able to get the guy that the Bush family couldn't get, that all the Republicans tried for two election cycles couldn't get. I like to keep bringing that up because that just gets in the craw of the right. Because the reason that we need to be in charge of business and everything is because we know how to make a better economy and we know how to, protect the country. And yet the economy's falling apart and they couldn't even get fucking bin Laden. It took a black man to get bin Laden.
Well, I mean, assuming that Obama did.
I know. But I say we're talking propaganda here. So the propaganda doesn't necessarily have to be.
Bush didn't use the. I mean, he did arguably. There was the tape that surfaced, allegedly of Osama bin Laden, a few days, it was the October surprise, or something, October or November, that idea, it surfaced, the weekend before, the presidential election, Kerry was leading, it was expected, he was likely.
You're talking about the Iran-Contra stuff.
No, in 2004.
Okay.
Well, the October surprise was I think that's
that right. That was the '80s. That was when Reagan got in. They talked Iran into keeping our hostages until Jimmy Carter got kicked out. There again, treason.
The bin Laden tape showed up the weekend or something, just a few days before the election, and Kerry and Bush both said, "Yeah, that's probably what threw it." Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, he pulled the Bin Laden tape, you know. Maybe that was all he needed. You know, but
well, 2000,
it's interesting. He never, you know, he never...
Bush did it? You mean in 2004?
Well, no, I mean, as people were about to go to the polls, this tape showed up of, you know, supposed, you know, it was, like, not verified, but yeah. Know, supposedly Bin Laden, you know, talking about, like, terrorist attacks on the U.S. or something.
Who do you think it helped? Bush?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Kerry was expected to win, you know, or was, you know, considered a likely winner, you know, then the tape showed up and Bush won. So,
yeah, they fixed the elections, too, with the computers.
Yeah. So, though. I mean, maybe he didn't, yeah, possibly all, yeah.
you need every little bit, you know,
because. Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about it, but if that's a fact, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, the exit polls were all of a sudden we stopped listening to exit polls, and that's usually how you tell when a country is got crooked elections, is because the exit polls don't match the actual elections, and yeah, that happened for the first time in the U.S. the election before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're crooked. I mean, and much as his dad was like hiring CIA guys to embarrass Ross Perot and Gary Hart during his election.
Yeah, there's some interesting things about George Bush also.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck, he ran the CIA, man.
Lawrence King. Yeah, yeah. Another thing to Google. Google Lawrence King, George Bush.
Hinckley. The family was. Yeah, there was a dinner date with Hinckley later on in the week after fucking Reagan got shot, but it had to be canceled because of the shooting.
You know?
DCCI. Yeah, he's fucking. He's dirty as hell. I think that Bush Jr. I think is a Manchurian candidate. I think his daddy molested him and tweaked his brain, so he's a fucking Manchurian candidate.
Yeah, have you heard about the Lawrence King story?
No.
Okay, I won't get into that. But yeah, there's some pretty damaging evidence out there about George Bush. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's just all sorts of things out there, you know, or just the tip of the iceberg is likely, you know, what's known.
And again, it's secret societies, you know, with that skull and bones that they both belong to. And
yeah, I mean, the groups I know about are like Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberg Group, and
Bilderberg's big.
Trilateral.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there are other rich people groups.
Well, the Skull and Bones is the Yale College group, or it's a Bavarian secret society. Yeah, the Bilderberg's a really big one.
Yeah, I think that's happening like right or in 2 days or something.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think June 6th to 9th or something is the Bilderberg Conference.
Well, they started June 30th, 1954, same day as a really important eclipse where Jupiter was centered in it. So then it goes back to the Venetian black nobility. It goes back hundreds of years, and then that goes back to the Minoans and on into ancient history. You know, fascism, you know, as soon as you have agriculture, fascism becomes possible because then you can accumulate a wealth into one place. You know, because when you're tribal, you have to move around, what do you call it, you know, when you're chasing game and stuff. You can't carry all that. Like the Indians here or the Native Americans couldn't carry that much stuff with them. So you don't see that much fascism. They're more anarchistic because no one can have that much power in the group because they can't accumulate wealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think another society is possible. But, yeah, I think we live in pretty fast. I mean,
well, it's a republic.
All the you know, worst elements of or at least most of the worst elements of fascism are already present.
A republic allows fascism to exist. Once fascism takes over, the grip on the, you know, the enslaving all the people eventually causes the whole country to fail to other countries. Because the more open countries, democracies or whatever, where people have more freedom, they produce more goods. Their innovation comes out and everything, and you eventually get ahead of people that are living under fascism. But in a republic, which gives the rich a place and the poor a place and the middle class, whatever, fascism can survive and grow like a snake and eventually just strangle the rest of the fucking population. And that's what we're seeing now. We're in the last stages.
I mean, it is really disconcerting. You know, there's like the $585 million deal that, like, I think it was FEMA gave to Halliburton, the bird detention centers.
Mm-hmm.
Just like 2006, and
you hear Brent trying to work on a sanctuary camp for the homeless here. Yeah, there's going to be camps for the homeless pretty soon, but they're going to have barbed wire around them. You know?
Yeah, well, I think I heard Miami. There is somewhere in Florida, but I'm pretty sure. But yeah, they were discussing turning a sports stadium into a homeless refuge.
There you go.
And, you know, if you've heard of the Allende coup by Pinochet in Chile.
That's where they were
September
killing
people. September 11th, 1973. He pretty prominently used sports stadiums as concentration camps. Mm-hmm.
So well, Santa Ana, California, they were, you know, putting the homeless in there, you know, tying them up, tagging them, and doing just really, you know, terrible things in a sports stadium.
Yeah.
Also, that's, come to Dark Age, though, those are also very good places to survive in because of that big wall. Even in Rwanda, there was a plan to, you know, put people in them to protect you from shock attacks by...
Yeah, I'm kind of imagining how that could be spun as sort of like the humane, liberal alternative to, you know, people living on the streets.
We still need to see sporting events, though.
Like give them a place to live, allow people a place to live.
They're a small fraction.
Live in a sports stadium with armed guards to keep you safe.
Yeah, I mean, the middle class is already feeling the downgrading of their jobs, and it's going to get worse with robotics and shit. There's more and more jobs are going to disappear to machines and shit, and there's going to be a larger homeless population, not just the crazies and the junkies and drunks. It's going to be regular people, and then they're going to be harder to control. You know, those junkies, they don't fucking do anything to stand up for their rights. You know, I've been in protests with them. They were all over Occupy fucking it up. You know, they don't stand up for their rights. But when the middle class gets in there like at Occupy, they were doing shit at Occupy. They were building stuff and protesting. So as more and more middle class, the left is going to get stronger. But the problem is, the right have no qualm about killing you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think.
And how are you going to protect yourself? I mean, if you do get all this publicity, you're going to get killed, Tom. Luckily, you're on free radio where it's safe because we don't have that many listeners.
My insurance policy, you know.
All right, we'll put this up. I'll post this right away.
If anything, I don't expect it to, but assuming that something did happen to me, whatever I'd been trying to do, I'm just hoping would be amplified several times over. You know, just the fact of having given interviews and told numerous people that I'm onto these things and, discussed my plans with numerous people, the plans live on,
Now, that's the thing. You're not going to get killed unless you start getting famous and stuff like the people you're reporting on. It's when they start getting famous. And you don't have any evidence that only you have, so you can't send anybody to jail. So there's not that much, urgency to whack you.
I mean, if the alternative media, at the very least, has any integrity, I think the story is going to start breaking there, what's really going on with terrorism. And, there's only so long, that plausibility can be maintained, with the FBI just killing people and stuff like that, like they've been doing.
They did it in the 60s and 70s, and nobody got convicted, We need to form our own fucking justice,
Yeah.
Official, whatever, an institution. I know that's a bad word, but come on, the Sub Rosa is an institution, really. It's not bad. Cop Watch, fine, let people have decals, how many cops they've caught on video or whatever, If that helps more Cop Watch videos happen, I'm fine with it. It doesn't matter if it violates an ideology, because I use ideologies. I don't let them use me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess if we let this go on any longer, it becomes harder to play often, so it gets to be a big show. So this has been Free the Land. Tom's been our guest. It's been a rousing show on conspiracies within our government to kill us, the protesters.
Pretty much.
On June 4th, 2013. If Tom is dead by July, we'll know why.
Exactly, yeah.
Thanks for listening.